Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
What a podcast!
By us. I'm living my best life, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Sergio Aguero scored some goals. Wolves were wonderful. And Gabriel Van der Hoorn knows my name. Good to have you here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Marcus Speller. The dogs and the bitches are here. Luke Moore, Pete Donaldson, steady. And Jim Campbell. I'll Marcus. Let you decide, ladies and gentlemen, which one falls into which category.
I was going to ask you which one I am.
Yeah. Definitely a dog.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be a bitch?
Yeah. You're Marcus's bitch.
Steady.
And the jury is still out on Jim. Now, on the weekend, there were some wonderful Premier League happenings, unless you supported various clubs like Arsenal or Everton, of course. We're going to talk about some of those games. Right now, Sergio Aguero with another hat-trick.
Mm.
My giddy aunt, he gives Manchester City a lot of cutting edge.
Sergio Aguero has now scored 9 hat-tricks since Manchester United last scored one.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah. That's a lovely
stat. He's got 10 overall, one behind Alan Shearer in the Prem, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Mad props to football365.com.
Mad props.
Excellent stat.
You don't remember who it was it Wayne Rooney?
I can't remember. No, I wouldn't go that far. I don't think the statistic mentioned it. It's irrelevant, Marcus.
It is irrelevant, yeah.
Because it's not contained in the statistic.
Exactly.
Sergio Aguero is so good. It's the best thing about him is he just doesn't fuck up ever. You know what I mean? He's so reliable.
Yeah.
And you can really hang your hat on him when it comes to, you know, because the best players absolutely whiff one wide every now and again. But he doesn't have that in his locker. He's so prolific.
The really impressive thing about him as well is that he's improved under Guardiola, and he's been at City for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, he's not resting on any laurels. He's still looking to get better, and he looks as good as he's ever been.
He's one of the best strikers in you would go as far to say the history of the top flight in England. I know we always talk about the Premier League
and
understand that, but you have to broaden it far wider than that into the history of the top flight in England. And it's one of those ones, isn't it, where when Messi does something great or Cristiano Ronaldo, you think, like, should we bother mentioning it because we know? And you think, no, you have to, because that is just negligent and it's just unfair on the man himself. And Aguero, yes, of course, one of them came off the arm and another one was a bit of a tap-in and so on.
I mean, they're all from, like, yards out.
Exactly, yeah. But of course, like I said, so much flipping cutting edge he gives them. I mean, it's... When you have City's sort of... I mean, they weren't brilliant against Arsenal, I might add, but it was a good result. But when you have that build-up play, when Aguero's on form like that, it's he makes it looked very easy getting into those positions. But as we all know, for a striker to lose his marker like he does so well, to read the game and so on.
He's just always on the move, isn't he? It's difficult to keep up with him.
His work rate is fantastic.
When you saw the team that Guardiola had put out, I was thinking, oh, he's doing it again. He's going because of what happened in the most recent game.
Much tinkering.
Yeah, he's gone completely through the looking glass. I don't know what we're going to get.
It's an odd...
And for the first half, it was fairly... I mean, I know they scored early, but their passing seemed a bit off. They seemed a bit sort of not quite at the racing.
I know what you mean.
But they managed to shake that off. And obviously, I mean, maybe brushing Arsenal aside is a bit harsh on Arsenal. But
it was comfortable.
They did have half an hour to go. I thought more goals were in the offing, personally.
Sure. And what it did do was to serve as a reminder of the... Actually, far be it from me to criticise Emery, because I think he's doing okay. And I think he's a good manager. But what it served as a reminder of, I think, is just that Emery's fighting against changing a culture, really.
He's having
to change a culture of a club.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not easily done. Sometimes it can be easily done, depending on the circumstances. You could argue that at Old Trafford, Solskjaer has changed the culture, but that's from in a very different situation. If you look at Arsenal's record away against the Big Six, I mean, it's absolutely appalling.
Yeah,
it's dreadful. And it's going to take Emery a decent amount of time to change that culture, give them the structure, give them the confidence, and actually as well, give them the players, particularly at the back, to be able to compete in these types of games.
Yeah, I think there are some what I would call stylistic growing pains at Arsenal, because if you look at the way the team have been playing lately, it's not really much of a clear, coherent style. It's all very bitty and not particularly attractive to watch. And also, you know, the defence is just an issue that everyone knows that Arsenal need to work on that. Obviously, Emery comes with a reputation as someone who's very good at instilling that sort of discipline and making improvements in that area. And it's slipped a little bit. And I think a lot of that is to do with personnel. I mean, Mustafi got away with a big one in the first half when he just bundled Sergio Aguero over in the box. And like, I think that's at 1-0. Like, that is a disastrous decision. And I just look at him as a player, and I know I talk about him a lot, but I think, like, if you put him in Fulham's defence, would it improve them? I don't think it would.
I mean, I would improve.
Yeah. Fulham's a poor example.
Yeah, that's the worst example.
No, I don't think it is, because...
I know what you mean,
more
Jim.
More often
I know what
than not, something like that happens in a game and Mustafi doesn't get away with that, and he's directly responsible for a goal. Mm. And it's a huge problem.
The biggest mismatch of the game at the back for Arsenal was Lichtsteiner, right? Who paired up against Raheem Sterling.
You don't want that when you're 35 years old.
And that is sort of indicative of the problem Arsenal have at the moment, because on one hand, all being well, Lichtsteiner wouldn't play in this game.
No.
You're not going to play him in a game away from home against Man City unless you absolutely have to. Mm. But of course, they do have to, because they've got personnel issues. And I can understand what someone like Lichtsteiner will bring to a team. And we talked about this at the start of the season. He's a winner. He's done everything in the game. He's clearly going to be of benefit around the dressing room. But unfortunately, I think maybe it was underestimated how quickly he's fallen from grace in terms of being able to compete at the very highest level.
His pace, isn't it, is the real issue. Yeah. Coming from Italy to the Premier League at that age is, you know, it sounds a bit of a cliche, but it is an incredibly fast physical league. And that's the wrong game for him as well. He would never have, in an ideal situation, have been earmarked for Man City away.
But also, playing at Juventus, aside the serial winners, you know, playing, as you say, into your 30s in that side, in that league.
There's also the players around him, Marcus, as well, I think.
Yeah.
Mustafi playing alongside him, you've already talked about him. Iwobi be playing in front of him, who wouldn't be known as the most diligent of defensive sort of players in that situation. And you've got I understand that Laporte was playing out of position at left back, but you've got Sterling there, who's just a flying machine and is one of the best creative players in the league. Silva, sort of ostensibly starting on the left, but moving around all over the place. It's very difficult for them. And Emery's got a big job on his hands to change the culture of how they approach these games, and also give them the confidence to show that they can compete, because very, very difficult against a team of that quality, isn't it?
Well, Lacazette and Aubameyang are both excellent strikers who didn't really get a sniff, and you've just got to get them involved a bit
and
more.
It's a shame, because Fernandinho starting centre-back, you think to yourself, he's not used to that position.
Yeah, it's an opportunity at least to, you know...
Yeah, not necessarily... I'm not saying that he necessarily would, I would imagine.
It stands out.
It does stand
something
out.
You try to explore.
I mean, Fernandinho going centre-back, to me, it would be reminiscent of, say, Mascherano going back centre-half. You just think to yourself,
this
he'd probably do a job. However... Let's find out.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately.
Let's at least ask a question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's see what you've got there, big lad. Guardiola said he and his players spoke a lot after the loss at Newcastle. I suppose you would, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
After that. But he said his players are at their best when they know what they have to do. Now, obviously, he's talking about the sort of the general winnings and so on and so forth. Liverpool play tonight.
It's a tricky old fixture, and I can't see.
Away, West Ham aren't playing very well.
No, but they're 2 points ahead of Manchester City.
They
top
are
of the table.
With that game in hand.
No,
yeah. West Ham are a funny one as well, aren't they? Because they pull a good performance out of the bag sometimes, just from nowhere.
Yeah, after that performance against Arsenal, I think to myself, what we were talking about the other week when we were saying that Liverpool, or I was saying Liverpool, every home game is going to be nervy, and so on. And I think that's right. Whereas now, after Manchester City moments in that game, I wonder if their nerves will start to creep in as well. And Guardiola, after that Newcastle loss, they suddenly realise, oh, can we get beaten off everybody? I don't know. It's a fascinating one. I'm so glad we've got a proper title race. I mean, who knows, in a month's time it may not be. But
Newcastle pulling the strings.
Exactly, the kingmakers, you could argue.
Son whacking one in from distance.
They've definitely got a performance against a big team in them, West Ham. They beat Man United, of course, and so
they beat Arsenal if you wanted to extend it slightly.
Good against AFC Wimbledon, so
they've not been great. But what about Arsenal? Going back to them briefly, Manchester United, their winning streak continued. Of course, Higuain is now banging in the goals at Chelsea, albeit at home to Huddersfield. But he's got a couple of
crackers.
Do you think Arsenal are going to miss out potentially on the top four, maybe even top five? It would be a great shame if they finished sixth.
It's a distinct possibility. Yeah. A lot of it. I mean, you know, you can point to injuries perhaps too much at times, but that has been a factor. But again, it's those growing pains that I'm talking about before. I feel like Arsenal lack a bit of direction, and that, as we said, that winning streak masked a lot of deficiencies, and that has unraveled since then. You know, they need to try and go back on another run, and you wonder where it's going to come from at the moment. Obviously the Ozil situation as well, like, I mean, they didn't have a shot in the second half, and you've got such a creative player on the bench. Like, surely just do what's best for the club and figure out those differences.
Do you think Ozil should play?
I don't know if that game would have been the best one for him, but you can't just not play him at all, surely, a player of that quality. Weird situation.
I think it's almost a tricky one to work out, because on one hand, you've got the football side of it. Clearly, he's a really gifted player and he can unlock a defence and he'll do something for you. On the other hand, if the manager coming into the club fresh has set his stall out and drawn a red line, he can't really be seen to go back on that red line, because as soon as he does that, the senior players just won't have him anymore.
But there's a way that you can bring that player back behind the red line in a
But it's going to involve Ozil doing something he's never done in his entire career before.
Yeah, well, apparently Ozil is putting the work in training. That's the word that's sort of coming out of the sources at the club. And it still remains an issue. But I just feel like if you're chasing that game, you're 2-1 down even, and you're not, you know, you're creating nothing, why not throw him on? You're losing it anyway. He's got a better chance of unlocking a defence than anyone. It just seems...
Because you're going to be in danger of getting rinsed. And the teams are so... are so close in terms of points. One thing Arsenal have got in their favour over Man United just is they've got a slightly better goal difference. But your original question about the top four, Arsenal came sixth last season with 63 points and they've got 47 points at the moment. So those teams are taking an awful lot of points this year, those top six. And it's going to be a battle right to the end. Mm-hmm. Now, Arsenal should exceed that points total this season, but... Of course, six teams doesn't go into four, so two teams are going to have to miss out.
Well, they are. Or the Champions League's going to have to give another two
get
places.
Get bigger.
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, and of course, the Mourinho getting sacked was dreadful for Arsenal.
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though dreadful. I still very much enjoyed it.
In the moment, you liked it. Yeah.
Didn't we all? Yeah. Let's move on to Everton. They were booed off at Goodison Park.
Yeah.
Marco Silva is under pressure. He understands why he's under pressure.
He's making me look a mug, is what he's doing.
He really is. Yeah. They're ninth, having won just three of their last 12 league games. Not having a good time. I fancied them to do quite well at the start of the season, largely because of him and some of the personnel they've got. Now, they're ninth, so not dreadful.
Yeah.
But you do expect a bit more.
What can,
yeah,
what can they realistically aim for, do you think?
Well, they would want to be where the side who beat them, their Wolves. Yes. I think Wolves are only, 5 points ahead of them. So it's possible to turn that round.
But I think there was a stark contrast in the performance. Like, Wolves stretched the play so well.
No, they were brilliant.
A joy to watch when they make the pitch seem absolutely massive and do what they do. But I think, as you've alluded to there, Wolves, despite how surprising their season is in a way,
newly promoted
side,
and
they are what Everton should be aiming at. They should be aiming at that part of the
best
league,
of the rest,
and that
as
sort
they
of performance, absolutely. And they were just way off at home as well.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think if Everton were distinctly the kind of seventh maybe even eighth best side in the league, and you could still argue that. So, which is why I think that's perhaps what you're saying, Luke. It's perhaps not the disaster and whatnot that people are suggesting.
Well, the biggest problem for Silver in this result is just that Wolves are a promoted team. And Wolves are
easy to forget that.
Wolves are an outlier in this. Mm. Wolves are not like any other promoted team of the last however many years. I mean, they've come into the Premier League with a fully realised, planned out mode of attack. They want to achieve this by this year, this by that year, and this by that year. They've got everything in place. They've got the money. They've got the agents lined up to sign players, and they're a very, very good team. They probably will come, you'd think, between 7th and 10th this season.
As you would think they would finish top half.
And they are vying with Everton. Now, whether Everton fans like this or not, given what's happened at Everton over the last couple of years, Everton and Wolves are essentially rivals at the moment. I don't think it's realistic. I'm not trying to say it's just to defend Marco Silva, because I do think Marco Silva has got some flaws that I've mentioned, he's not pragmatic enough, he doesn't change it enough against the big teams.
Doesn't smile enough.
He hangs his players out dry, I think, with some of the formations he picks. But they're the same level as Wolves at the moment. Just because Wolves are promoted, I don't think this is a hugely surprising result.
No. They've had some poor results, though, I think, Everton. I mean, they're, 33 points, Arsenal on 47. It's a big gap. I mean, really, I think if Everton... Look at just off the top of my head, reading through some of the results, they should be near a 40 or on 40 by now.
They've lost four of the last six.
Yeah, and some of them, it's just been a bit sloppy, and it's because of the... differences at the each end of the table. There's a lot of other sides who are lower, like Newcastle. You know, if they didn't have that owner, they'd be further up. You know, there's other sides down there, and I think Everton are quite fortunate. There is a big pack of teams distinctly below them who aren't doing very well at the moment.
Yeah, and I think actually, sorry to butt in there, but I think the problem is that I think they almost take that for granted, because Everton they're too soft, aren't they? They don't seem to sort of work hard enough to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
They're not a team that's hard to beat, and that perhaps that comes from that sort of complacency. Knowing that.
But that is also partly what I said a second ago, which is Marco Silva's formation at times, where he just hangs his players out to dry too often. I think he expects them to do things they can't do. But on the fact that they've had some sloppy results, obviously they have. Every team apart from Liverpool's had some sloppy results this season.
No, I know, but I think Everton fans are thinking they should be looking... They should really be looking up the table, as in, how could we maybe challenge for Europa League? But I think in the back of their minds, they're thinking it is more likely to go the other way, that they would find themselves in a relegation scrap rather than in a fight for the Europa League, and for the amount of money they've had, for some of the quality of players, for, I would argue as well as you, look, the quality of the manager. You think to yourself, there should just be a little bit more.
It's a really curious thing, because Big Sam came in and did what he did, and there was never really any serious question that he was going to continue.
No.
Only
from him.
Yeah. He was very serious about that.
Indeed.
But when Marco Silva comes in, everyone's expectation changes. It's almost like, okay, well, this is Marco Silva now. He's got a big reputation. Some would say unfairly, not deserved, that they should be really up there and challenging. But if Big Sam was still in the job and they were ninth with 33 points, people just, it's Everton, isn't it? I mean, it's just Everton. I mean, that's just what they do. And realistically, the most they can hope for it this season is seventh anyway.
A lot of investment, though. A lot of money.
I was going to say...
In pretty ill-thought-out fashion in areas they perhaps
Let's
didn't
buy
need.
All the midfielders.
Yeah.
But before, you know, Roberto Mancini, it was Mark Hughes, was it, at Man City? Unless I'm mistaken there. You know, a managerial change can affect everything. It can.
And to be honest, I think Everton are kind of victims of, like, players like Tosun just not delivering what people expected. Mm-hmm. And spent a lot of money. He was kind of the great white hope for that team, and he just hasn't... He's turned up and he's kind of been bitty, hasn't he, really?
Yeah, I mean, Richarlison has scored some goals. Mm. But I think
even then, he's inconsistent in a similar way, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's the whole team are inconsistent. Yeah. I think Richarlison, he's one of those players that you think to yourself, do you know what? Actually, a good season and all the rest of it, he could be, considering what we know he's capable of and the flashes of brilliance that he has and the goal scoring, you think to yourself, you know, he could wind up in the sort of a very, very outside chance of like player of the season or something like that, if he has a really good year. But it's just not quite enough.
Well, I think this is it, isn't it? I feel like for Everton to get where they want to be, they need to basically replicate what Spurs have done, which is to sign cannily and just get the best out of those players. And it's just they haven't quite got the quality. They haven't managed to get the players of that calibre in. Mm. And it hasn't gelled in the same way.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Spurs have maybe, I don't know, how many years ago now.
Yeah.
You sort of see Everton in that.
Obviously,
sort
this
of...
is the beginning of that
process. But you have a situation where someone like Spurs, well, they do have consistency of manager. If you look, since June 2014, Everton's net spend is the fourth highest in the league.
Mm.
So that tells its own story.
Yeah.
But what's also come along with that is quite a lot of change over of manager, and then you look further down the league and you say, well, the fifth biggest higher net spend since June 2014 is Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So you know, it can go either way.
Yeah.
What you need is a coherent plan, right? And the same, my argument before, I know it's not all about my opinion of Marco Silva, but the same way I said about Emery, changing the culture, changing something, you can't expect him to undo all this work of 22 years or whatever it was in 6 months. I would argue the same way. You can't expect Marco Silva, however good he is as a coach or isn't, to undo all this instability and changing of ownership and changing of managers and unsettled status around the stadium and the fan base for it being very demanding. If he is ever going to do that work, and he may not, but if he is ever going to do it, not going to do it within the first season.
Did you agree with his tactic of throwing a black cat on the pitch to try and distract everybody?
I did, actually, yeah. Although I felt very sorry for the cat, who looked quite scared. I didn't like to see that.
No. I don't know.
How did it get there?
I think the cat looked scared.
It would have
made
itself
big, would it not? If it was scared,
no. That's a good point. How did it get there?
Gorillas.
Did it pay its? Did it pay on the door?
You know, stuck through.
Yeah.
Probably stuck through the Pern style.
Jimmy?
No.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, well, you see, but Barry was on the pitch for about 3 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Give us a breather.
Do you reckon, I hear that it ran more than some of the Everton players.
Ran more than Ozil.
Yeah.
He's
not on the pitch,
he didn't play at all.
Did you reckon that some of the more unfit players, maybe they just take it in turns to have one of the cats down their pants and then when they want a break, just chuck it out there?
Chuck it out there, yeah.
Yeah, give
nice.
Us a breather. Give us a breather. You'll never catch that. It's a cat. did the cat have little football boots on?
Because no.
That would be adorable.
Because if it got into the centre circle in paws, it deserves to be there.
Yeah, that's true. Excellent. All right, after the break, we are going to talk about Crystal Palace and Cardiff City. See you in a minute.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Pickford comes out of his goal and takes a look at the cat. The cat looks at Pickford.
And the cat came back the very next day.
Yeah.
Or the very same day.
Oh,
sorry about that. Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble. Luke Moore, what have you got to say for yourself?
I've got some exciting news.
What?
For all of you in this room and for everyone listening at home.
I've wet myself.
Peter has wet his pants. Marcus, it's back to you. More news as we get it.
Well, of course, if he has wet himself, you can now see it.
I can.
Oh.
I can. No, there are extended highlights of this and every show, as well as behind-the-scenes videos, every show release day on the Football Ramble YouTube channel, youtube.com/footballramble. Go and subscribe now to ensure you never miss a video or indeed a Pete bathroom accident.
Yes.
Which will almost certainly be...
And this is news to me because I've been picking my nose for the last half an hour. So sorry.
If you were to wet yourself, even if we didn't talk about it on the show, it would probably feature in the behind the scenes video. So if that isn't an incentive to go and subscribe at youtube.com/footballramble, there's no helping you.
I scored an excellent overhead kick in FIFA last week, and I'm furious that producer Sam did not make the cut.
It was against Marcus and I. And I had a word. I honestly didn't.
Poison.
Didn't.
Dripping poison in their ears.
Would you remember the last time you wet yourself?
It's a long time ago. I think it was at the fair when I was about 8. I went to a church group and we went to... And I didn't want to run away from the people I was with because they were on the waltzes. And
why would you... You didn't want to run away
I didn't
want
to run away because I didn't
want,
I didn't want to lose them because then I would have been double screwed. But instead, I stood there and purposefully wet myself instead of going to the toilet.
Purposefully.
And I remember sort of bursting in tears on the bus home.
Poor decision.
So I was very embarrassed.
So it was very much a delayed reaction.
I was just very embarrassed about it. It was water coming out of both ends.
You were overflowing.
But I just remember turning up at home and bursting out into tears into my mum's arms because I'd wet myself.
How do you recover from such a thing?
Just hard work.
School age.
Hard work, just taking a long, hard look at yourself.
You become a broadcaster. That's what you do. I think on the radio.
Super injunctions.
How old were you? Eight? You're 8 years old?
Probably a bit younger.
So you've got to make a decision between losing your friends and wetting your pants. It's a tough decision.
It is. To be honest, I lost my friend anyway. I don't really talk. Joel Hawkswell. I think he started working for the God Channel on Sky. I've not seen him for ages.
Did he stop talking to you after you wet yourself?
No, he was very Christian about it, I guess.
Yeah. Joe, if you're listening, get in touch with Peter.
Mm. Yeah, reach out.
He needs affirmation of your forgiveness, which I'm sure you've already given him.
Yeah.
But he would like that in writing.
I remember the church sang a song. The guy had a really out-of-tune guitar. And I remember at that young age, thinking...
That's genius,
mate. Oh. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Ooh. Jesus is a rock and he something. Jesus is a rock and he is the good news. And it was just a really happening church I was at.
You sure it wasn't a flamenco guitarist? He was tuning it up as he was
going. I can remember being in the supermarket when I was a kid and I'm probably a bit younger than that, four or five.
If you don't give me some ice cream, I'm going to wet myself.
What year? What year did the Empire Strikes Back come out?
82.
Okay, what about Return of the Jedi?
Don't know.
Ooh,
after that.
It was for that. It was for the final one because I'd have been about 4 or 5.
You did that in honor of the Death Star. Being
I didn't realize it was happening.
Don't tell
and
them.
Then, and loads of stormtroopers were in the local supermarket, and I got scared and wet myself.
1983. That's brilliant.
83. So I only been 3.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
you're a little wet for a stormtrooper, aren't you?
It's piss.
Yeah,
that's what I said. It's piss.
Did we come back from an ad break?
Yeah, we did.
Can they hear this?
Pete, you're supposed to do an email.
All right, forgive me. It's my fault. I asked the question. Pete, give us some emails, old boy.
Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees.
You've got mail.
Bad beat.
You've got mail. Trevor. Hello, Trevor Munson, for this fantastic email. After laughing with delight at the cat invader at Goodison Park and being impressed by the amount of ground it covered, I decided to do some advanced analytics. I reviewed multiple videos of the incident and painstakingly tracked the run of our feline hero. Based on Goodison Park's dimensions, I estimate the cat ran 288 yards in the 2 minutes and 8 seconds the videos captured it on field. If the cat could keep up that level of intensity over the average game length of 96 minutes, it would cover around 11.8 kilometres. For comparison, only 4 players average more distance covered per match in the Premier League this year. So sign him up, Everton.
He's got 4 legs instead of 2, so he could probably do half that.
Is that leg doping? Is that
what's half it?
It's unbelievable scenes. But if you want to get just a short, shotthefootballramble.com. Let me just find this next email. Yes, there's a lot of we got a lot of messages about the A League.
Oh, the match 4-3.
Yeah, Brisbane have delivered again.
Brisbane poor.
Relevant to the, get the cats in.
Brisbane Roar have had a difficult season, but 3-0 up at half time, it looked on the up. Wrong. 2 red cards, 4 second half goals. Sees Brisbane Roar transition to Brisbane Draw and onto their national state, Brisbane Poor, losing 4-3. Where else in the world? Thank you very much to Tom Hendy for that email.
Go on, Hendy.
Terrible stuff.
Lovely. Excellent, Peter.
As I said, if you want to get to the show, shutthefootballramble.com.
Super.
Thanks, Pete.
Super. Right. There was a big win for Crystal Palace against Fulham 2-0. Roy Hodgson spoke of anxious times ahead for Palace. They're up to 14th, 4 points above the rally zone. Mm. I mean, that is just the ticket, isn't it, if you need a win, Fulham at home. That penalty. What was Christie doing for Fulham? My goodness, it was an absolute gift, and then Palace scored late on. Christian Benteke starting the game. Do you think that Hodgson probably thinking, confidence booster against
to give him a rock up?
That bicycle kick onto the bar was pretty
tasty. That one made the highlights, didn't it?
He was gutted.
That one didn't even go in.
That was a great effort. Michy Batshuayi came on after signing on loan until the end of the season after cutting his loan spell with Valencia short. This is his tweet. I think he only scored once in 14 or 15 games.
He was very poor for them, yeah.
Right. Yeah, he said, you know, sorry it didn't work out, but you know, you're a great club and great supporters and blah, blah, blah. I like the cut of Batchwise.
Yeah, I do as well.
He seems very fun, very happy, likable individual.
And it's delighted.
It's weird to square that away with someone playing for Chelsea, but it's nice to see him at Palace.
Well, I wonder if he's like a living example of the Peter principle, where it's nothing related to UP. Okay,
right.
Where people achieve at the level they're at and they keep getting upped until they get upped by definition to the one level above where they're at. And everyone goes, oh, right, they're not that good. But we had to do that to find out.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he obviously was very good at Marseille, and that's what got him his move to Chelsea. Before that, he had played in Belgium, was decent. He went to Dortmund and did okay, didn't he? Now he's at Crystal Palace, of course, via Valencia. But you wonder whether he's just not at that Champions League level, which is absolutely fine. Mm. It's not his fault he costs 30 million quid or whatever. If that's true, then Palace have got an absolute steal because he'll be great at that level.
Very much so.
Would he score goals against teams around him, which will be absolutely vital for Palace? You could argue he might do.
He probably will, yeah. I mean, also, he gives Palace a different dimension.
Yes.
You know, he's a very, very good player in the box. And obviously, with Zaha and Townsend having the pace that they do, that's useful. That's really, really useful. I think with Maia behind him as well, that's great. And also, I mean, I think if Benteke is even attempting an overhead kick, there's some confidence coming back.
I do agree with that. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, man of the match. He's been very good this season for Palace. Yes. Very impressive. There was a little rumour. We know Guardiola loves a fullback. Well, he wants to get some more in maybe at the end of the season. So there was a little tiny rumour linking him to...
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I think
he's one of those ones where you could sort of forget about him or lose him in the melee of so many good performing footballers in the league, blah, blah, blah. But
English footballers.
And
not only that, because I think we're seeing Kyle Walker on a decline now.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wan-Bissaka would go in there. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. I think he's top, from what I've seen, top four quality. I've seen Palace in the flesh this season. He was great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Bad news
for Palace fans, though. Say again, mate.
Dale in Paris has chipped in with a little email about his progress, basically. He's had the third most tackles per game in the Premier League, fifth in Europe's top five leagues, but he's made fewer fouls, more clearances and more blocks than those above him, which is an incredible...
That is very impressive. To have that high on the tackles and that low on the fouls.
He looks... And the thing is, when you talk about a player looking really good, for me, in his case, you need an absolute engine to play fullback, and he's got that. He's got pace as well. Positionally, he's very good.
The incisiveness of his tackles as well.
He's been, of
the 83 occasions an opponent has approached him with the ball this season, he's only been beaten six times.
Wow.
It's a hell of a success. Thank you, Dale, maybe that's
what marking Zaha in training does to you.
Yeah, quite. Yeah. But I think the question mark you'd have over him would be the obvious one, which is if he does go up to a top four club, he's going to be expected to join in attacks more.
Yeah.
And he's got one assist this season, I think, in all competitions. Now, I know Crystal Palace don't score a huge amount of goals, and they rely on Zaha and to an extent, Townsend. Calm down, Pete, on that. But I don't know if we've seen enough of his attacking element of his
game. Well, that's playing for a Hodgson side, I think, just by the looks of him and the way he plays, I think if he played for a manager, for a side in which he was afforded to go up the pitch, because against Palace, defence is the priority, as it is down there, and with a bit of quality they've got going forward, you think they'll get a goal here and there.
He's also 21 years old.
Sure. I think if he played for a side and went, oh, by the way, you can attack as well, I think he'd have a lovely time.
And it's not looking very good for Fulham, is it?
It's not looking very good for Fulham at all. I mean, after that 4-2 win against Brighton, 2-0 down at half time, was it? They came out roaring and scored four. Mitrovic was, you know, bullying the defenders and blah, blah, blah. You thought to yourself, hang on, there's a bit of fight. There's something. Four goals in a Premier League game. I think they've only done it once this season before that. And you think, okay, there you go. And then against Palace, it was just so just tepid.
Palace are a very good pressing team, though, aren't they? Which are a little bit underrated with, and I think
Fulham struggle
with that.
Yeah, but I mean, Fulham had more of the ball, Jim. I mean,
they've put themselves in a position where they have to win that game.
Yeah,
they've not won two Premier League games in a row all season.
It's beginning to look very bleak, and with Cardiff winning as well, Cardiff are showing more fight. We'll come on to them in just a sec. I do think Fulham will be considered in the same bracket as Huddersfield very soon, in the sense that people say, well, they're probably down.
That's one from the rest of them.
Which is remarkable, really. I mean, Huddersfield have not spent big, of course. Cardiff haven't spent big. Fulham have spent an awful lot of money. You look at some of the names in there, you know, some players that people way beyond this country would know of. And they're relying on Mitrovic the whole time. And if I'd be surprised if a bigger side at Everton, for example, doesn't come in for Mitrovic in the summer, you give him a bit of support, you give him service, he will score goals. Mm. And at Fulham, he's just bereft of that at times, really. Despite that, he has actually scored a few goals this season.
So what a fit for Watford he would be.
Yeah.
From the way they play.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. There we are. All right, we mentioned Cardiff there. Let's move on to them. The great win and great performance from Cardiff. The emotions surrounding the game, of course, with Emiliano Sala were felt very strongly in the stadium among the fans, players and manager, of course, Neil Warnock, you know, getting a bit emotional after. So I thought the tributes were good and a brilliant performance as well.
Yeah, the performance was a great tribute itself, but you can't underestimate how impactful this has been for the club. I mean, you know, clearly, the people who we should think about first and foremost are Emiliano Sala's family and friends. The football club have felt it in a big way. I mean, Neil Warnock spoken about how it was his hardest week in football, and he's been around the game a long time. Yeah. Talked about quitting, talked about thought, you know, some things are more important, and he was visibly very emotional after the game, and understandably so. Really, when it comes to the football, though, really, really important win for them, vital win. And if I was a Bournemouth fan, I'd be really disappointed, because obviously they have such a notable win in the week against Chelsea, and of course, you know, David Brooks got injured fairly obviously, and that was disappointing for them to take, and maybe that took away some of their momentum. Of course, it was going to be a difficult game for them to approach given what's happened at Cardiff, but the emotion and the situation aside, when the football game's there to be played, it's that old adage, isn't it? And Addy Howard has said this before the game: it's no point going to beat Chelsea 4-0 if you can't go and beat Cardiff. That would have been the team talk. Yet they weren't really in it.
Yeah, I wonder if Warnock, in his team talk before the game, the players were aware of the situation. I just wonder, you know, they fly out the traps, make it difficult, and the occasion could affect Bournemouth as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You can't discount that. But but in pure sort of footballing terms, if you like, I know what you mean by Bournemouth. It was a little bit disappointing.
Do you think there's an element of trying to integrate Dominic Solanke as well? Because it did look a little bit disjointed, and obviously when you got a new player coming in.
Yeah, I really want to see Solanke do something.
I want to see what he's about. I feel like we've been told he's very good since his days at Chelsea, and moving to Liverpool from Chelsea was weird because you'd expect that you're going to get just as little game time. But I feel like he's not really had enough of a platform to show us what it is that makes him so highly rated.
And it feels to me like these players get a reputation through absence, right? Mm. So they don't play, they're really highly rated, but they don't ever really play consistently.
You see them playing for England under 21. Southgate might put one or two of them on the bench. I think Solanke came on in a friendly against Brazil, maybe.
Yeah. He's got a full cap.
It's funny because they come with this ready-made reputation, and we're seeing it now with Callum Hudson-Odoi as well. And they almost feel like a fake player.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
I know what you mean.
I suppose you could argue if we're being a bit harsh on Bournemouth, because if Brooks is out injured, and obviously Wilson is their best forward and he's out injured, you sort of, they're away from home.
Possibly.
But I would have just been, right, Bournemouth are known for their inconsistency, right? And then they follow up a Chelsea game with that kind of performance. I know Solanke's new and all the rest of it, but you fancy him to have enough about him to win that game.
Well, what about Cardiff themselves, though? They're 2 points behind Burnley, Southampton and Newcastle. They're obviously still in the relegation zone. Can Warnock keep them up?
They're picking up points, aren't they? I did not see this coming to them. Because when they first started, they were a bruising team.
They were.
But they found a bit of rhythm.
Well, if you look at those teams, Burnley have started to turn the screw. They were unlucky not to get all 3 points against Manchester United. Okay, they salvaged a point against Southampton.
Burnley haven't lost for ages.
They're still only 2 points ahead of them, though. Burnley is still only 2 points ahead of Cardiff.
Yeah, I just said, Cardiff are only 2 points behind Burnley, Southampton and Newcastle. And Southampton, obviously, Hasenhüttl's gone in there and improved the situation a bit. Newcastle, you would think that with Benitez pulling the strings and all, that they wouldn't go down. And again, they were unlucky against Spurs, a game which you two chaps were at, Pete and Luke.
Yeah, that was a poor game, really. I mean, Newcastle was similar to the Chelsea performance. They had a couple of chances. I think if they had been a bit more confident, Newcastle, they could have got something out of it. I do think, though, that those three teams above Cardiff, you can make decent arguments as to why they'll stay in the Premier League, and that could just be bad news for Cardiff. I don't think Palace will drop enough points, and I don't think Brighton will either, because Brighton's so good at home. And after that, you're at West Ham, and you can't see them getting relegated. So it is going to involve, from Cardiff's point of view, one of Newcastle, Southampton or Burnley's tripping up. Of course, everything can change. Mm. But Newcastle were so well organised against Spurs.
That's it.
Spurs dominated the ball. They had the lion's share of possession. They were the better team, blah, 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 as you'd expect. But what does it take for them to win? Well, it takes an error from the goalkeeper, who's otherwise very, very good. Mm. And Newcastle could have come out of that with a point, which would have been massive for them.
Like Christian Atsu's shot.
Yes, were literally massive on him.
The hugest shot I've ever seen in football.
They're making their own point.
It's because he's so small.
Yeah. But even though losing 1-0, obviously the manner of the goal and late on in the game is very frustrating and you'd rather have a point. Even losing 1-0 away actually isn't that bad a result considering goal difference. Goal difference could well come into it.
They don't hemorrhage goals. That's the one thing that Rafa does instill in them. They're not great up top, but they certainly can defend.
Yeah.
They certainly can, Peter. Mm. All right, after the break, we're going to go to the Championship and the WhatsApp group. See you in just a minute after Pete presses the button.
Don't be rude.
Rather than throwing it.
Where I come from, the black cat is always bad luck.
Oh, no.
But I don't want to see black cats again.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday. How did our best better get on, Luke Moore?
Laughing stock. Mm. To be fair, it wasn't. We need a new one.
Yeah.
That's the salient point. Yeah. But because although Man United won, Paul Pogba did not score. But he did provide an amazing assist on one hand. But on the other hand, that doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
So show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line. We'll pick another one on Thursday. We're in a bit of a barren run at the moment, sadly. So we need someone who thinks they can step up and pull that betting sword from the stone.
Okay.
I like that.
And chop the head off some profit.
Excellente. All right. Go to the Championship. Big win for Norwich. Big, big, big. Beat Leeds 3-1 away. They go top of the league, of course, on goal difference.
Leeds looked unstoppable, didn't they, at the start of the season?
Yeah, they've lost four of their last six in the league.
Here we go. It's happening. This is like in Scream 2. In Scream 2, right, people start getting killed again.
Yeah.
And everyone's speculating about whether the serial killer's back. Yeah. Like, is it a copycat thing? Is it happening again?
Yeah.
And everyone for the first third of the film goes, it's not happening again. Don't be silly. This is like Leeds. It is happening again. They're going to finish in the playoffs. They're not going to get promoted. And that is my official prediction.
All over again.
Can you see that?
Yes.
Playoffs. Hang on by the skin of their teeth in the playoffs. Nothing left in the tank. Don't get promoted.
Mm.
Bielsa goes. It'll be sad because I'd love to see him in the Premier League.
Is this your more Mostradamus? Is this your? This is an early more Mostradamus prediction, I think.
It's easy for you to say.
Well, Mostradamus. We did mention at the start of the season, as did other people. It cannot go unnoticed what happened at Athletic Bilbao and Marseille. Mm. It's not happened everywhere in his career, but they're the real sort of two most recent.
And he's in the most demanding league he's probably ever worked in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Physically. And I know I do understand that other teams in that top five are dropping points. I mean, you know, Norwich themselves have had three draws and a defeat in their last six. And Middlesbrough have lost a game and drawn a couple, and Sheffield United and West Brom. And West Brom were beaten, of course, at the weekend. But Leeds have lost four of their last six, you know. And I think they will know that they're starting to run short of energy. Yeah. And if that happens, it's a relentless division. There's still 16 games left. They could come about 12th. But I hope they stick it out, but I just fear for them because Norwich were decent.
They were very good, yeah. I mean, Leeds are away to Middlesbrough next. Yeah. That is not what you want, to go to Tony Pulis's side, who beat West Brom, of course. Sheffield United just 3 points behind the top two.
Mm.
3 points. Mm. Sheffield United are off those chaps. Incredible stuff. Norwich host, and I will call them, sorry Ipswich.
Yeah.
Next. And you might think to yourself, oh, is a derby game just a ticket for Ipswich to try and get back? Surely Norwich.
The Old Farm derby.
Yeah. Not too good at all.
But on that Bielsa thing as well, I mean, he said himself, like when people have said to him, oh, how do you sum up your career? He's like, well, I'm not a winner. I've not won things. And he hasn't won things.
Mm.
And so that is a thread that continues.
Mm.
Now, you could say, okay, well, he doesn't need to win anything to get promoted to the Premier League, which is true. But and they're still joint top, and they're only second, I think, because of two goals difference. So, I mean, they've done the hard foundation and the hard work, and you wonder whether they've got enough about them to beat all the teams who are right on the bottom, whoever they play next. They might pick up enough points just to scrape it, but they're only 3 points ahead of Sheffield United, as you say.
Maybe he's aiming to finish second.
Maybe.
That's not a winner. Job.
Well, he better not overshoot it, because he's doing a pretty good job so far.
Bielsa, I can't think of many examples off the top of my head. Bielsa strikes me as, you know, when you get a film or even a band, and maybe not that many people have heard about them, but the big, really massive, successful bands or the huge films. Oh, but that was a huge influence to me.
Yeah.
And that particular film maybe didn't make as much money as some went on to a Hollywood production or something like that. Bielsa is almost like the sort of managerial
Classic, right?
He's the Milburn to the Arctic Monkeys.
There you go.
Yeah.
Milburn.
Or,
wow.
No, I was about to say the Pixies to Nirvana, but that's not a very good one.
Not very good one.
Insert whichever band or film, whichever you want. Now, Middlesbrough beat West Brom 3-2 away. Great win for them. Great win for them. Both sides on 50 points in fourth and fifth. I personally would like to see West Brom go up.
Okay. I like they shot themselves in the foot against Barrow. That first goal was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I like that they play attacking football. They scored a lot of goals. I mean, West Brom sides have played quite attacking football before going up. I think Tony Mowbray.
Yeah.
I think they played quite a nice, expansive game.
So that's interesting to me, Marcus. You want to see West Brom go up? Because to me, I see them as a bit of a yo-yo team. Obviously, they had an extended spell in the Premier League before. Uh-huh. And I just feel like,
I'd like them all to go
a bit
up.
Drab, wouldn't it? West Brom coming up.
I think we should
have someone new.
No, not drab. Well, because of are they the highest scorers in the Championship? They might well be. It's not that drab. And also, as well, to make a sort of slightly more poignant point, perhaps, don't have many English managers in the Premier League. Don't have many young English managers and black English managers as well in general. So that would be great to see Darren Moore, certainly.
Okay. I would like to see some classic Premier League teams who have fallen by the wayside come up. So a combination of sort of Leeds or Derby or Norwich.
Forest.
Nowhere near it.
That'd be great.
Nowhere near it.
Not Middlesbrough. I mean, they could be Forest. Classic Premier League.
They've been up, though, haven't they? They've been up.
Forest
down,
are five
down.
Points off the playoffs. It's not ridiculous. Mm.
No, true enough.
I think.
But just knowing the club.
When Sunderland came up that time with Roy Keane, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm making this up, but it was something like Roy Keane took over. Like,
it was
now,
outrageous.
And they were bottom. Yeah. And they got promoted.
It was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer stuff.
It was.
Yeah. Ian Dowie did a similar thing at Palace, didn't he? Where he had an amazing rise with him.
And the reverse for Newcastle. So.
very funny. Stevie Bruce won his first match in charge of Sheffield Wednesday, 1-0 away.
Nice to see.
Ipswich.
Yeah. No, I mean, Ipswich are in a terrible state and we have sympathy for them, but it's nice for Steve Bruce, who's had an awful year or two and personally and found
spoke
it very,
very
difficult.
Eloquently about
he did,
it, didn't he?
He did. I think he was treated quite unfairly and although we like to tease him, we do think he's a good lad.
Oh yeah,
it's had a terrible
we like
time Brucey. Of it. So good for him to get back in the seat. And I do think on one level it's a pretty uninspiring appointment on Sheffield Wednesday's behalf to get him in because of his track record and all that kind of stuff. But you know, after the couple of years he's had, you know what? I don't begrudge him it. I don't begrudge him it.
It's surely another Brucey bonus, isn't there?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So Wednesday will be another one, by the way.
Well,
Hillsborough back in the Premier League.
Well, it wasn't Bruce's Villa side. They got to the playoffs last year.
They were
so you know.
Yeah.
Still a little bit.
And look at what Fulham have done with it. You'd be so annoyed as a Villa fan.
So what are you trying to say? If you're looking for someone to take you really close but not quite get there, Steve Bruce is your man.
Well, hang on a minute. I mean, speaking of Villa fans, you know, some people think I am one. Anyway, it's time for the WhatsApp group.
It is time for the WhatsApp group.
We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Now, I did say at the start of the show that a certain villain knows my name, Gabby Agbon-Lahore. Pete...
Take it away.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Hi, Marcus. Thank you for being an Aston Villa fan. Really appreciate the support. And yes, Wenger and Eriksson was a great England manager. Up the Villa.
Would you like to explain that, Peter?
You can go on a website and pay Gabby Agbon-Lahore $30 to say whatever you want.
Dollars?
Yeah.
Not even in pounds.
And he produced a video that can only be described as, would you say louche? Like he's just basically in his house court slash dressing gown.
Yeah.
It looks like he's about to ask for enemy soldiers to be removed from disputed territory.
Yeah, or for someone to, I don't know, change the bedding in his hotel room. It looks like he's forgotten that he has to do all of these and is backed out about 40 of them.
I would say that a friend did use a WWE superstar, the great Khali, this gigantic Indian dude who filmed it the next day. Gabby Agbon-Lahore took about 2 weeks to do it. So, yeah. And I'd forgotten that I'd actually done it. So there we go.
I don't think Gabby thought his career would turn out this way.
No.
He's only 31, isn't he?
Well, you're 31, which is crazy, really, isn't it? Do you want to see other footballers who are also on this website that allow you to...
go on then.
So you got, I'll give you the name of the footballer and you've got to guess
how much it cost. Okay, so Gabby's $30.
He's $30.
I'm going to abstain from this because I had a look earlier.
Jim wins every quiz anyway.
To the rules, well done, Jim.
Failing to prepare is proud to fail. Carlton Cole, how much do you reckon?
Marcus, I think he's got to be...
I think he's 45 boys.
No, I think he's the same as Gabby.
No, I think...
30 boys.
45.
60 boys.
60? Double? You get two Gabbies for that? I'll take two Gabbies all day.
Gibril Cissé.
Oh, he's got to be higher. 75.
Yeah, I think 80.
60.
Oh, yeah.
Ledley King, 50.
Oh, you've got to be higher for Leaders.
I know, he's brilliant though, isn't he? Yeah. Michael Dewberry, 35. Sean Wright Phillips, $40.
I'm not guessing anymore.
Sorry.
Yeah. Give us one more.
Yeah. Adrian Mutu. Oh. I wonder what he's going to spend the money on.
60 a gram.
No, I reckon Mutu's going to outprice himself. I reckon he's 100.
100! Well
done!
Is
it? There you go. Oh,
nice you one. Win, Marcus. There's loads of people down here.
I had a particular favourite one. You've probably noticed it.
Jermaine Pennant?
No. Oh, what was Pennant? I missed it.
Guess how much Jermaine Pennant?
Tenner.
$250. Oh,
he's getting no commissions for that.
There's Michael Essien in there. There's, I don't know.
My favourite one was Uncle Avi.
Avi Grant.
Oh, I can't
love
see
that.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yes. How much is that, Jim?
Oh, £7.
Do you have a guess?
£7.
30.
$1,000.
Again, I wonder what he's going to spend that on.
$1,000 is like 20 seconds long.
$1,000 flipping for...
We're in the wrong... Can we get on that? We're in the wrong game.
Do you think Gabriel Bonlahor thought to himself, oh, how much should I charge? I mean, 30? Would they do it for 30? And then he's looking at that website going, hang on a minute.
Grand.
It's the footballers who actually kind of had a bit of... Adnan Januzaj, $300. I mean, it's just...
He is still sort of... He's still playing.
He's still about, isn't he?
But I think...
He's having grown 1,000.
What we should do is get listeners to email in or tweet in. So shout at thefootballramble.com or at footballramble and rank
what
us.
What they would pay.
Rank us. What they would pay for each of us. Donnie will be the highest. You'll be up there as well. Please. Me and Jim will be fine.
No, I'll be on Live Jasmine.
Yeah, we'll owe people.
Live Jasmine only, guys.
Anyone who's listening, please don't pay Avram Grant $1,000.
No.
For
no,
that,
no.
I don't know what he'll do for $1,000.
I wouldn't pay him to manage $1,000
by video link.
I wouldn't give him a season.
Can we have a 90-minute video from you, please?
I love it.
Or a half-time tea talk.
Grant $1,000. I mean, at least like Michael Essien, whatever he is.
He's
like,
a legend.
Yeah, like a phenomenally good footballer. People will remember him and all the rest of it. There'll be young people going, Avram Grant, it was. I don't remember him. Yeah, unbelievable.
I remember him, all right. Though, to be fair, he did take us to the cup final.
He did. Well, what about this to finish on then? Peter Crouch made his Burnley debut on the weekend. Still getting moved to Premier League clubs at the age of 38.
I wanted him to come to Portsmouth so badly.
Wasn't his kit really small?
Like his tracksuit was
too
short.
Was too small for him. Yeah,
that's right.
They've always done
that. Can't do. Yeah. And somebody put, like, I think when he played for QPR, some wag put a sign on like a high kind of
on a bridge
saying, yeah, "Mind your head, Crouchy." I think somebody did the same.
No, that was
thing
at Burnley, I think.
Yeah,
no,
did,
I mean,
both.
It's a copy of the QPR original.
Yeah. Well, there is a butcher's in Burnley that has a new sausage for sale called Crouchy's Red Hot Robot.
Sounds rude.
It's very wow.
There's a lot of reaching going on there.
Well, Jim,
guys, I'd eat it.
Apparently, there's a Mexican kind of vibe, which provides the spice and the hotness.
I don't understand what the relevance of that is.
Yeah.
Well, he does like his nachos.
True.
He does like Mexican food, doesn't he?
True. That,
Did you see the Barnsley footballer, Alex Mowat, as he comes off the field after scoring a decent peach of a goal?
Well, it wasn't that.
He congratulated himself.
Yeah, it wasn't that good a goal.
I haven't seen this.
What a screamer that was by me.
Excellent. A lovely bit of accentuary.
What a screamer that was.
By me.
By me.
Yeah.
But wasn't a screamer, though. Keeper should have saved it.
Maybe he's being
sarcastic.
Didn't
know, did he? Yeah, I will give him benefit of the doubt. I think he's being a sarky. Yeah. A sarky sausage.
Oh,
what are you doing?
Started watching the goal.
Sorry. Oh,
yeah. Well,
that means
you're anything
on right, well, Pete's bored, so that means the show will end right here. Thank you very much.
What
everybody.
A fuck up by me.
For listening. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PED.
See you later.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me. There it is.
There we go.
Was a Radio Staccato production.
What a podcast by us. That was dreadful.
I didn't know what you were going to do.
Do we do it again?
Yeah.
What a podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.